Are you aware that the Bramford had rather an unpleasant reputation around the turn of the century? It's where the Trench sisters conducted their little dietary experiments. And Keith Kennedy held his parties. Adrian Mercado lived there too. So did Pearl
Ailey. Who were the Trench sisters?
The Trench sisters were two proper Victorian ladies. They cooked and ate several young children, including a niece.
Oh, lovely.
Adrian Mercado practiced witchcraft. He made quite a splash in the 90s by announcing that he'd conjured up the living devil. Apparently people believed him, so they attacked and nearly killed him in the lobby of the Bramford.
You're joking.
Hey guys, welcome back to Spooky Tuesday, a weekly podcast where we're breaking down all of our favorite slashers, thrillers, monster movies, and black comedies on the new scariest day of the week. I'm Sydney Thompson.
I'm Monica Haidt.
And I'm Chelsea Duff.
And this week, we are... Honestly, this movie is so relevant as to like a lot of the discourse that has been happening in the last couple days.
I don't know that I'm seeing that. I don't know that Monica and I are both seeing the same discourse you're seeing.
I don't know. I'm not very online this week.
I can't wait to find out what the discourse is.
I'm excited to know about the discourse.
The movie is Rosemary's Baby, and the discourse is the horrible chief's kicker saying that women should feel shamed that they graduated college and they should just be at home having babies.
I'm so proud of you guys for graduating college. I think you're really gonna come into a sense of pride for yourselves once you're wives and mothers. Yeah,
like,
dude, what the fuck. Yeah, see, I don't follow anything with football at all, so I had no idea.
You don't follow commencement speeches across the country as the celebrities step onto the stage. You're not constantly Googling commencement speech inspiring quote.
You
know me.
Have you deleted your Twitter? Because it's all over Twitter.
I deleted my Twitter, yeah.
Okay, then that's why.
You know me. I love things hard and then I hate them. So I had this big commencement speech thing.
Yeah,
and then I just dropped off. I really needed some space from commencement speeches, and so I missed it.
Back in 2010, I was going fucking crazy. I'm on my Tumblr, tagging all my different commencement speech content. Yeah.
And now I just need a little time away, you know, and I hope you can understand that. But that's fucked up. That is so fucked up. And this movie is so fucked up. But it's so fucking good. And it's Mommy Issues May.
And it's Mommy Issues May, baby.
But it's Mommy's Issues May. This is a perfect Mommy Issues May movie because this lady here, Rosemary, she is becoming a mommy, so it seems. And she has many, many issues. Some on all counts, honestly. It's pretty bad for Ro here. I feel so bad for her.
Yeah. I would say a little bit. Brahms the boy too, but this movie in particular is really the mommies with issues part of Mommy Issues, as opposed to someone who has mommy issues.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a read for that later, but we don't want to spoil the ending of Rosemary's Baby, which came out in 1968. I know that no one
right?
knows.
And one of the most iconic movies to date. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I had like really seen it all the way though.
I had not
way
seen
later
it
in my
at
life.
All, actually. This was really? my first watch. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I must have seen it because I saw it before way long time ago. Then I read the book because I remember being like, the book's different. I don't fucking remember. I don't remember in which ways that it was. This was fucking years ago that I read it now. But I remember thinking that. And then I saw it on Halloween.
I'm pretty sure like this movie is one of the mostly like closely followed movie to book adaptations, actually. Like, it's very like
that's what it looks like online when I was
there was something about the ending that I thought was different, but also I didn't do research again on what happened, but I do know that they literally verbatim copied the dialogue from the book into this movie, like some would say to the detriment of the film.
So this movie does have a problematic director, Roman Polanski, but he didn't know that if you're doing like an adaptation that you could have creative liberties with it. And so he thought like you had to like do it the exact same.
I know this was,
I guess he's
early
got a lot of weird ideas
career.
About the way that things are done.
You know?
Yeah. How early in his career was this movie? Because I did research in an exciting new way this time, and I just watched an episode of television that was about this movie, and that's all I did. And let's see if I retained any of it, because usually I read and write things down. But there's this show that's on Shudder and also AMC Plus that's called Cursed Films, I think, or Cursed Movies, probably films, that sounds sexier. And there's a whole episode on Rosemary's Baby. But yeah, I think that it was interesting because I think it was early in his career, but he had like made a name for himself. But William Castle was the producer for this movie, and yeah, he brought Polanski onto the scene. And there's some interview with Ira Levin, who is the not Hour 11. And listening back, it does sound a lot
it
like
sounds
Hour
like
11.
Hour 11.
It does. I really was like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? I listened back. It sounds exactly like I said that. So
you're like, oh, okay, I get it now.
Ira Levin. he's the writer of the book, which is so great. I definitely recommend it. But not right after watching the movie. And he was like, oh, I guess that I'm okay with them bringing in Polanski. He said it like that, which leads me to believe
good
that
beef.
He was joking around. No. He was like joking around. Like,
oh, he loved
it. Oh, he's like, oh, Polanski, that's great. He's really good. So I can't complain that he's been.
That old hap, I guess it'll do. That's the vibe.
Yeah, it was like, oh, like, oh, I'm so mad. Haha, no, I'm not. He's a great director. So this is actually gonna be probably better than what it was gonna be before. But I love that Castle was involved with this movie. It's so interesting because he'd done so many Silly Billy movies that we've seen before. You know, we did House on Haunted Hill, which is so funny because the guy in House on Haunted Hill is the landlord in this movie. The guy with the guy who's also
Hutch?
Like the keeper of the house. Yeah.
Or no, Nichols.
Not Hutch.
Nichols, who does the walkthrough of the new place.
The guy who takes him on the walkthrough. Yeah, Hutch isn't the landlord. He's just friends with Rosemary. He's a writer. But yeah, that guy. I was like, I know that guy's face. And it's like, it's because I've seen him as a disembodied head floating around. He was the keeper of the keys in House on Haunted Hill. So Castle done so many funny, like, silly things. You know, what was it called? The name of the thing with the skeleton going across? It's like the 4D experience.
Yeah.
I want to say Whammo, but it's not Whammo. You know what I'm saying?
I was like, Skelovision.
Right.
I'm like, that's wrong.
It could also be right.
It's like that's a combo wrong. Of Skelovision and Whammo.
You know.
Skelovision, House on Haunted Hill. I'm Googling. I was actually just looking at House on Haunted Hill on our Knives Out of Fives document recently, because I was like, what have we given fives to? And then I was like, what movie is this? Because I confused it with The Haunting, because obviously of the title connection. And I was like, did we love The Haunting that much? I don't recall that we were.
I did. Catherine
five
Zeta
Knives
Jones.
Out of Fives on it.
That CGI in The Haunting, 5 out of 5. No, that one is really, really great. But yeah, I don't know if he'd done other serious works, but this is a doozy in comparison to what I'm familiar with William Castle with. So
Emerjo.
I didn't realize he was involved. Emerjo, see? Whammo and Skelovision?
Yeah.
That's
right
in the same family.
It's so there. We were so close.
We're so close. Emerjo. Oh my God, I love him. Oh man. But yeah, I think Sydney's the one who chose to do this movie, and I'm so glad we're finally doing it.
I think Sydney's been championing it for a while.
Yeah.
I've been trying to get us to do this movie for a really long time because I really love this movie. One, it has two names in it that are on my baby list. Oh.
Ooh.
Baby list.
Oh my God. And that is Rosemary. That's at the top of my list. I love that name. And I also love the name Hutch.
Oh my God. I was going to joke and say, is the other one Hutch?
Well, like, I think
it's a cool one. I can see you with a kid named Hutch. It's a badass name.
Yeah.
And I've got a, my great grandmother's last name was Hutchinson. And so, it's like also like a family name.
Yeah.
But also it
was like, are you related to Josh Hutcherson? But it's Hutcherson.
It's for Josh Hutcherson. She's a really big Five Nights at Freddy's fan. She loves the Hunger Games. She cried at Bridge to Terabithia.
Everybody cried at Bridge of Terabithia.
Everybody cried. You're heartless if you didn't cry at Bridge of Terabithia.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, I don't know, maybe my experience would have been different watching it before, who can say, but I think Spooky Tuesday's timing is once again always right, because my experience watching this movie hugely benefited from us having already covered The House of the Devil and Late Night with the Devil.
Yeah,
totally agree. I totally agree too, because there's things that I noticed in this movie that I like didn't know what they were before, really. And like this in particular, in conversation with Late Night, the all of the devil shit we've been doing lately, it has been a lot of devil shit.
I know,
shit,
I brought up
all
my devil shirt again because
together.
I was like, we gotta visually link though. I gotta be my themed outfit, bitch. And then once I was looking at myself on camera too with my blue eyeliner and my pink lips, I was like, this is actually giving very Ruth Gordon if I just had like a little bandana to tie and peek through.
Well,
the
you also have Rosemary's pigtails.
I did
right
her
now.
Pigtails. Yeah, I did that on purpose.
That's perfect. I tried to do that with this because that's the outfit I was going for, was the one where she's wearing the pigtails, but
she's so pretty.
There's not enough hair there.
Yeah.
I didn't dress up. I'm just wearing good Spooky Tuesday merch. So
that's always dressed up.
Always dressed.
Somehow you put on the camo hat and everyone's like, fuck.
Whoa. You
see that, bitch?
Who is that?
Mm-hmm. And you can see who that is on our YouTube channel if you watch the video episode.
Wow, I've trained Chelsea so well. She's starting to do the YouTube plugs. Oh, okay, Sydney, I'm sorry. I keep talking, and I know that you want to say some written words that are on the internet right now about Rosemary's Baby.
Oh, my God, yes. I absolutely do want to say written words about Rosemary's Baby.
I can just see it on your face.
It was right there. It's so obvious. If you have never seen Rosemary's Baby, according to IMDb, a young couple trying for a baby moves into an aging, ornate apartment building on Central Park West, where they find themselves surrounded by peculiar neighbors. Like, I guess.
Everything about this movie is a nightmare to me. Every single thing about it is a nightmare to
Except for the apartment. Unfortunately, that is a sleigh apartment.
Okay. Yeah, but here's the horrible realization that I came to this time around. I was like, oh no, they white lady flipped this apartment. They painted white paint all over all the old wood.
The wood? Yeah, I noticed all that and I was very mad.
I never thought of it before. It does brighten the space a lot. It was very spooky and like some would say
that's
dated
what we want.
Before, but like there's other ways to do it. Just like open the fucking curtains. I don't know, get a white bedspread. Instead of painting it all,
Rosemary. They had all that clutter in there when they were trying to evaluate that first. You know what I mean? Like, let's clear out the space first and then see what we're working with.
Exactly.
I was like, God, did your landlord know that you did that?
The landlord special, unfortunately, is what they call it as well. So
also, so the, like, it takes place in New York. They filmed some of it in New York, but most of it is filmed in LA, obviously. But the like widespread scenes of like the building that they live in is the Dakota Building in New York, which is where like John Lennon was like murdered and a bunch of like other people lived in. And so there's like, they always say like this is, it's like, you know, cursed and like,
want
there's
to talk
a curse
about the
on
curse?
The building.
Okay. Maybe we should do curse stuff before we dive into the actual movie, because that's what the entire episode was that I just listened
to. Yeah, I love a good curse.
Yeah, that shit's so
Let's
crazy.
Get into the lore of this movie before we talk about the movie, you know?
The lore of this movie is so fucking insane. Like, this episode that I watched gave me the whole timeline. Roman Polanski met Sharon Tate in 67. This movie came out in 68, and Sharon Tate was murdered with Roman Polanski's unborn child, you know, in 69. Like, yeah. It was bing, bang, boom. It's so, so, so horrifying. And, like, I think most of the idea of the curse comes from the fact that the Manson murders happen right on the tails of the release of this movie. But there are so many other aspects of it that add to that as well. Like,
well, because they also have the, like, helter-skelter sort of satanic tie to those murders as well, you know? So,
oh, yeah. Well, okay, get this. So Manson was super inspired by the White Album, which was written primarily in India when they were in India. Who were they in India with? Mia fucking Farrow. Some of the songs on that album are inspired by Mia Farrow and her sister.
Yeah.
And so those were the songs that the Beatles were speaking directly to Charlie Manson through. So weird. And then, just like you just said, Sydney, years later, not that many years later, the hotel where they fucking, this whole thing is based, is shot. That's where John Lennon was shot. And like the spot where Terry in this movie, like her body hit the ground, is like almost exactly where he was killed. That's a little weird. Wild? Okay.
It, like, when you look at things like that way, like, yes, coincidence is like a thing and it's always, you know, a coincidence, but
yeah,
what if it's not?
Also, this was just like a time where this was such a flux time for the world. I mean, like, in 68, both Martin Luther King and it's RFK, right, they both were assassinated that same year. Like, there was just like a lot going on just a few years prior. What is his name? Levain. He was the starter of the Satanic Church.
Yeah.
I don't remember his first name right now. That happened just years before. So that was obviously very influential to probably the book and the film too, because there's like a Time magazine in the movie.
God is Dead. Yeah.
Rosemary is, yeah. And it's, yeah, it says God is Dead, and that's about the Satanism. Like, that's an actual cover. Also, did you know Sammy Davis Jr. was a pronounced Satanist?
Hell yeah.
He literally was a Satanist, and he said it was basically saying that, like, being a Satanist, like, they weren't as racist. Like, that was part of his argument for being a part of it. And he has a book called, like, it's his memoir or something called, like, I think it's called Yes You Can. When Mia is when Rosemary is curling up on the couch to have a nice night in that is soon to be interrupted, the book she's reading is that book. And you can see it on the shelf when she's looking for her witch book later on. So they did a good job of weaving it in.
Technically, I am a Satanist. I am a member of the Satanic Temple.
Doesn't surprise me at all.
Abortion rights, though, is part of it, I think, right, Sydney?
It is.
Yeah.
It's like a main thing with them. So
they do a lot of legal rights,
religious
protection,
religious freedom around like abortion and things like that. Again goes back into this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is interesting. I saw, you're not going to see the connection at first, but I'll get there. I saw Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes recently with my dad.
Okay.
So now I'm getting into the Planet of the Apes fandom. And that first movie, Planet of the Apes, also came out in 1968, this same year. And it's also asking a lot of questions about, like, science versus religion, the role of both in society, blah, blah, blah. So I wonder if, I'm not that familiar with, like, the cultural norms of, like, the 60s coming into the 70s, blah, blah, blah. But I do know 60s is, like, free love, counterculture. So I imagine that was just also very, like, present in what people were talking about politically, societally. Yeah, like, the role of religion. What is religion's role? What is the norm for America that's going on?
Well, paganism and fucking free love were holding fucking hands, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
belief in the occult went up with the free love movement because, like, you know, it's too salt of the earth kind of,
and it's so obviously not like evangelical Christian.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's not purity culture, obviously.
It's all counterculture, quite frankly. Yeah, like, we're trying to push back. We're trying to be different. And what's the opposite of, you know, evangelical? Mm-hmm. Satanism.
Totally, yeah. And apparently, Levain, I hope I'm saying his name right, was, like, a silent consultant on this film, too, which is just really interesting. That's, like, in this thing, people said, oh, it's a rumor. And then someone was like, no, it's true. So take it with a grain of salt. But back to the curse, just a couple more things with that. One is the man who did the score, the composer of the score for this film is Christoph Komeda is his name. And he was very, very well known, had done many prolific works before this. This is not his first rodeo. And like Rosemary's Lullaby is one of the most iconic horror songs ever. But he died shortly after this film was released. And it's very creepy the way that it happened. So I don't know exactly how he died. There are different rumors about it. Some say that he was with Polanski and another man, and that other man and him got into a little friendly tussle, and he fell down and he hit his head. Another take was that he was in a car accident in Los Angeles. But regardless, he received a hematoma in his brain, and he went into a coma for 3 months, and then he died. Does that sound familiar to you? That's exactly
like
what happened to Hutch. Yeah. I don't know if he had a hematoma, but he had a coma for 3 months, and he was in a coma for 3 months, and then he passed away. So that's just a very evil connection. That's what I almost said.
Evil.
The person in this show like brought up this concept called a God wink, which is like a good coincidence. It's like God being like, you're on the right path, and he's like, this is more like a devil wink. It's like, actually, things are very bad.
Things are not going well, and you should reevaluate.
Yeah. And so we already talked about, like, the actual hotel or apartment complex where this was supposed to take place had many bad things happen. But this was also filmed on the Paramount lot in L.A. And did you know that the Paramount lot is on top of an old cemetery?
I don't doubt that. I lived right next to it. So
yeah,
I feel like we must
right
have talked
Hollywood
about it before, maybe during the Poltergeist episode, but I don't know if I knew that.
Yeah, Sydney, you lived right there. It's Hollywood Forever, right? You were right next to Hollywood Forever too, right? Okay, that's what I thought.
It had
a different name.
Yeah, it went like my apartment, immediate across the street, the Paramount Studios, and then like right on the other side of that was Hollywood Forever.
Yeah, like apparently Hollywood Forever was twice as big as it was before, and then they sold off half of it, and Paramount was built on that. And so they're like sure
right
that there still remains underneath, you know? I mean, I've seen that episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark that scarred me to this day, and I have nightmares about still. There's a ghost.
We all know what happens when you build something on top of a cemetery. Do you know the difference between a cemetery and a graveyard?
Tell
one
me.
Has headstones and one doesn't.
No.
Was
graveyard
that a good guess, though?
No. A graveyard is attached to a church.
Oh.
And so, like, if you have, like, a church and it's, like, on the same thing, like, that is, and, like, if you have the church and then, like, a burial plot right next to it, that is a graveyard. But if you have just, like, a separate space where it's just graves, that's a cemetery.
Oh.
Fun fact.
That's good to know.
I don't think it's that fun.
Fun for everybody but Chelsea.
I thought it was fun. I'm sorry that you got shot down, though, Chelsea.
Everybody but Chelsea. Fun fact.
Whatever.
I just clicked on something, and my whole screen turned into the music video for 15 by Taylor Swift. So I guess I was having an emotional time sometime recently.
You're like,
anyway,
where is that?
Continuing with the curse energy here, William Castle, who we already were discussing, the producer of this movie, he had like kidney problems / kidney failure soon after this movie came out, and he had to have like surgery. And apparently when he had the surgery, he saw the reflection of the devil in the scalpel, and it really freaked him out. And he was also just like really deeply affected by the negative reaction to this film from the church and from the Catholic Church and from, you know, the Pope and stuff, because it was like explicitly they're like, fuck this shit, it's bad, you know what I mean? Which, like, pretty par for the course for Satanism shit in 1968.
But
I
you'd
can't
think
imagine the
there would be
papacy
some
being into
room.
it.
But like, if my enemy was saying I'm bad, I would not be like, this movie is terrible. I would be like, see, those people are evil. Come be in the church.
Well, I think they were like, they're putting the idea in people's head to be Satanist, blah, blah. I
Yeah.
don't know. And some
But
people
also,
are
yes.
misogynists, Chelsea. So they were like, I love this that they subjugate women and make them into vessels
Right.
just for procreation. I love that.
Which, here's the thing, people want that actually, because God forbid a woman has a choice over her own body. God forbid. But
Yeah.
also, too, this movie is considered the like godmother of all of the other, like, without this movie, we wouldn't have had like The Exorcist or The Omen or any of those kind of movies. Like,
This
this
is the
really,
beginning of the
like,
big Catholicism trend.
yes, or The
I
Devil, like,
was wondering if
it all comes back to Rosemary's Baby.
I was wondering if Monica
That's
was gonna come
Mother.
in here with having seen Immaculate and having thoughts about that.
Oh,
Ugh,
I've
I
did
seen
not like
Immaculate.
Immaculate.
I thought it was really funny. I have thoughts. I have thoughts that are just about the end that relate to Immaculate. I thought about Immaculate at the very, very end of this movie because there are some similar things going on. Oh, but you haven't seen it, and I don't want to spoil it. You'll have to go na 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 and
Yeah,
not
Chelsea,
say.
take her AirPod. Like, Chelsea, take your AirPods out when we
I don't
talk about
mind
it.
spoilers the way that Monica does. I'll just hear them.
Okay, it's
And
not
I've
that
seen
big.
it, so.
You know what's gonna happen in that movie. It's the same thing. Immaculate is like D version of Rosemary's Baby,
Yeah.
like D minus, but funny, not intention. It's not trying to be. But I laughed. Maybe it was the crowd. We had a great crowd. It was the night before Good Friday. Everyone was like, fuck you, religion. It was great vibes. Anyway, but yeah, the only thing I brought up the whole Catholicism thing is just that William Castle was like deeply upset by the negative reaction, and he got super depressed after the movie, or after the movie came out and that reaction too. And there's an interview with his daughter, one of his daughters, and she was like postulating like a lot of bad things happened to her family over the course of many, many years. But she's like, is it the curse? I don't know. Like, her sister passed away at a younger age from cancer. Her mom got Alzheimer's super, super early. And then her sister died super early. It might not have been a cancer. Her child died of cancer also. So there was just like a lot of untimely deaths in the family in the aftermath. So is it the curse? Is it just the way the cookie crumbles sometimes with life?
Was the
No
church
one
praying on
knows.
their downfall?
Were they like,
Was
oh
it the
no,
Pope himself?
we fucked around with Satanism and now we're finding out?
Yeah, it could go many different ways. But I will say I was shocked by the background of Polanski's life that I heard, and I just didn't know. Like, I knew he was Polish. I knew he was, you know, his family was around during the Holocaust. But like, one of the most poignant parts of this episode, they're like, when you think of evil in human form, you think of two. There's like the big two people that usually people bring up, and they're talking about Hitler and they're talking about Manson. And his life was directly touched by both of those people, which is just like
Which is
really,
wild.
really insane. And so I would say he's probably the one with the biggest curse, if the curse exists. But it feels gross to call it a curse. There's so much more that went into it than that, you know what I mean? But it is very interesting. That said, it's too bad that he's a horrible, horrible, horrible person, because he's a pretty damn good director. I really liked this movie a lot. I just really loved the style. For one, the costuming was so fun, like late 60s, or I guess mid 60s is when this is set. It's in 65 and 66. I was just dying over all of Rosemary's little dresses and all her little
She's so
outfits.
cute.
She's so cute. She's so sweet and so good-natured, and she really loves her husband so much. And like, It's so
she's got her little elevator pitch. Oh, he was in Luther and he was in blah blah blah, and he's been on radio and TV.
Exactly. That is exactly on Sunday. Adam was wearing the Spooky Tuesday shirt, and I was like, "Do you have your speech ready?" And he was like, "What do you mean?" And I was like, "Do you have a little blurb about Spooky Tuesday that you're ready to say when people ask you about the shirt?" He does.
The blurb is he has to point to you at the middle, because I told Taylor this, and I go, "You have to say, do you see this bitch right here? That's my bitch. She loves to yap. You should listen to her podcast." And then recite all of our social media things. That's the pitch.
That's really going to get us more listeners, right, Sydney.
Yep. That's my bitch.
There you go. Wow, it's ironclad. You're the head of marketing now. I'm dead. That's so funny. But yeah, she's so sweet. And it's just so painful at the beginning of this movie to watch her push for all of the decisions that end up ruining her life. And it's not, I'm not saying it's her fault. It's so not her fault.
No, of course not. Yeah.
No, she's being led into it. But
she, but even so, she likes the apartment building. She thinks they should have dinner with them. Like,
she's those like, come are on, is he rude?
She because she's a sweet, nice person who sees a good real estate potential.
I would also do that for that apartment as well, because it is a sleigh.
Yeah. I loved the little details in the apartment tour, where it was clear that whatever the name was, Miss Gardenia. Whoa, yeah. We were just talking about Gardenia.
Exactly.
Mrs. Gardenia obviously was a part of this coven, and then she probably had second thoughts when it came time for them to take another young woman to attempt to birth. Spoiler alert, the son of Satan. And yeah, I love that little note, like, I can no longer be a part of this or whatever.
I can no longer associate myself with
that's what it was. And like the hastily moved cabinet that she put in front of the closet.
The secretary.
Yes.
And then the guy's like, I guess she just was senile. I don't know. I don't know why she would do that.
Yeah. He's not in on it. I think he's too oblivious. No. He's like, everybody's in the coven. That guy's not fucking in the coven.
I didn't see him at the party, okay?
Yeah. Too bad, because he's a cutie. But yeah, it's so hard to watch her be like, come on, hubby. Let's break our other lease and get this apartment. Like, you have to go see them, blah, 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 blah. But as soon... like, she did put him in the path of that couple, but I feel like they would have come back again and again either way. But I have never hated a man more than I hate Guy. I fucking want to do murder. I want to do murder. I've never been so angry in my life. He sucks so bad. I feel like this is one of the scariest movies I've ever seen, just because of the way she is treated as a woman, and watching it as a woman, it's just like, it is, I just like, I'm on the edge of my seat. It's 2 hours and 16 minutes long, and I'm on the edge of my seat because I'm just, every nerve ending is firing with like anger and fear and the like.
Because here's the thing with this specifically, like, pregnancy is scary to begin with, because like, yes, it is a life. Yes, if it is wanted, it is wonderful, all this kind of stuff. But it is like a foreign body in your body, right? Like, it just is. Like, want it or not, it like, I call it a parasite, but you know, some people will think that is uncouth. But
it's a little bit of parasite, especially like, this just, baby.
Just like a little bit, because like, without your body, without like eating things that your body provides for it, like, it cannot survive. And so until it hits like a point, and when you are pregnant, you're very vulnerable. Like, everything in your body is changing. You're unsure about like new things. You're probably really worried if it's her first time being a mom. So she's never done this before. She's like, is this how I'm supposed to feel? I don't know.
There are so many things that can go wrong.
Right?
And like, then even outside of that physical experience, like, domestic violence spikes for pregnant women, hugely.
And you're more likely to be cheated on when you're pregnant. Like, you're more likely to be murdered when you're pregnant. Like,
you're ostracized from your friends, maybe, because you can't, like, if you were a person who went to bars and went dancing, you can't do that same sort of thing anymore for at least those 9 months plus, you know?
And so it can be this, like, really, like, scary and incredibly vulnerable time. And if you don't have a strong support there, like, you can feel like you are going insane.
And also, she clearly does. This is 1966 in the movie. Women didn't have the right have their own bank account until 1974. Maybe they could have their own bank account at the time, but a lot of the time they would need a signature from their husband allowing that. You can certainly imagine that the husband in this relationship in this movie would be like, why do you need that? What's that for? Even if maybe he would have been like, okay, girl, eventually, like, there could have easily been pushback. We see in their dynamic, obviously we see later on once things are already fucked up, but like, even in the chocolate mouse scene, that is before anything has technically happened, and we see the way he like guilts her into doing what he wants her to do by being like, okay, fine, don't eat it, there's always something wrong with everything, and then she's like, okay, I'll eat it, like, chill out, like, it's fine.
The power dynamics in this relationship are so fucked up, and it's just so hard to see what she accepts as normal, because again, exactly what you're saying, that was a product of the time. I'm not saying every man was like that, but it was different. That's why we needed women's liberation and all of that, you know? Like, because that's how it was. It's fucking terrible. I mean, like, but back to what you were saying just for a second, Sydney. Like, he on the best day, pregnancy is innately body horror. Like, it is. It's
legitimate
beautiful,
body horror.
But it is body horror. Like, it is, all of the tropes of body horror are happening to you. And there are positive spins. Don't worry. I'm scared of having a baby, but you know, and so it's just brilliant to bring that into horror because it's right there and it's right in front of you. And to, like, I don't know if this was one of the, this has got to be one of the first ones to have done it, you know, because of the time and just the conservativeness of society before this period. Maybe there's something else in the 60s, but this is one of the biggest ones to do it, one of the first huge movies to show pregnancy as anything less than a miracle, you know.
I was shocked they even said the word abortion in this movie.
Because
Roe v. Wade was not until 1974, so 73, maybe something like that, but
It's a groundbreaking film in a lot of different ways. Ugh, man. But I mean, I could literally, like, I could kill him. Imagine this. You go and you have dinner with the most annoying, terrible people that you've ever met in your entire life, and you talk to a man for 35 minutes, and you're like, I'm gonna sell my my wife's first child to the devil. Like, that's literally how quickly this fucking man decides to sell out his wife of however many years, his lovely, sweet, doting wife, who's beautiful and sings his praises to the high heavens. It's literally one, he must have planted the seed that first night and that first dinner when Rosemary's in with Minnie and they're doing the dishes.
Oh, for sure.
Like,
yeah,
and then he goes
them, like,
back
whispering
the next
on the
night.
Because Roman did his whole thing of like, oh my god, you're an actor. Minnie's like, he's so handsome, I knew he must be an actor. And then Roman is like, I for sure saw you in that play that you did where you did the gesture. Remember the one? Remember you did a gesture in a play? And he's like,
oh,
you saw my
god.
Gesture?
I did
a gesture. And he's like,
hand.
Yeah, that was the one. That's also like Late Night and the Devil in the, like, scene with what's his face in the beginning when he's doing like the cold read psychic experience. Like, he is just
do
Roman's doing a similar kind of thing of just being like, I'm gonna put out something vague enough that you're going to respond to it and give me all of the details that I need to convince you that this is coming from me. So he says, you did that gesture in a play. And he goes, oh my God, you saw the way I did this little hand thing towards Luther, the lead. And then it's like, wow, you think I have potential? You think my acting career just needs one big break and then I'm going to take off? Like, tell me more. Your dad was a film producer. Oh my God. Like, he is so seduced immediately. It takes 1 second.
It takes an embarrassingly short amount of time. Boy is desperate for fame, which, like, okay, he's an actor. And he wants to get roles or whatever, but like nothing should be worth that. That is
And everyone
is so
keeps
horrible.
Being like, oh my God, you're an actor? What movies have I seen you in? And then he has to be like, fucking whatever, I do Shakespeare, bitch, whatever. And then his wife has to be like, don't be silly. He's been in Luther and the other one and television and radios and commercials. Like, he is so down on his career. And she keeps trying to hype him the fuck up. But he is so clearly butthurt about it that the second he gets, like, a little bit of praise from someone, he just is fucking eating it up.
Yeah, man. Oh, my God. Ugh. It's hard because he's terrible, but I will say that Roman is really good at what he does.
Well, he's got those pink pants.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's the thing. Like, the after he's a horrible man, he serves kind day after day. Like, that outfit.
Minnie. Yeah.
Yeah. Minnie and him walking down the street right after Terry has died.
Quote unquote killed herself.
Yeah.
She might have actually killed herself. I do think that's possible.
I think she might have
discovered
actually
what the fuck was going on.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It wasn't even discovered. You hear in one of the dream sequences before the main dream sequence, the walls are so thin that Rosemary is hearing things through the wall and is hearing an argument between Minnie and Roman. And she's like, I told you, Minnie says, I told you if you had listened to me, this never would have happened. You never should have clued her in on it beforehand. I knew she wasn't, like, down enough to handle it, essentially. So I think that, like, Roman thought that Terry would just be down the hole to have the spawn of the devil in her. And right. Terry was like, I can't get out of this situation, sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, well, she was so vulnerable, again going back to the vulnerabilities of women societally in the 60s. You know, she didn't have parents that she could rely on. She did have a brother, but he was away in the Navy. She didn't really have people in her life that she could turn to for help, and she was on the street doing dope and other things, and this couple took her in. And so she, you know, like, she didn't have a lot of other places to go. Maybe it was too late to just leave at that point. Maybe she knew, like, especially if she couldn't get an abortion. I don't know what abortion access was like in New York in 1960s. But yeah, I mean, it's easy to imagine that not only did she have nowhere to go under normal circumstances where shit is getting fucked, but now that shit is getting fucked in a Son of Satan way, she really is like
natural way.
Yeah, yeah, I think she might have been.
I think that would make a lot more sense if she was like, oh, by the way, that baby, it's Satan's.
Yeah, I mean,
and that's why they were like, we can't tell Rosemary what it is this time. Like,
yeah, well, yeah, if that's obviously what you're saying, the argument was, that makes a lot of sense. If it was like, either they did the ritual and then let her know what that was all about, or I guess it could have just been that they talked to her about it ahead of time and were like, what do you think of this idea? And she was like, I don't know what to do other than escape. It could be that they gave her some chocolate mouse before they went out to the theater or whatever that night. And like,
yeeted her.
Or she like fucking fell, because we saw Rosemary like couldn't stand up on her own. You know what I mean? Get too close to an open window and could be tricky. Like, there's a lot of room in there for things to have gone wrong in a bunch of different ways related to that targeting. Mm-hmm. But it's really easy to see how Terry got taken advantage of and how she found herself in that position and how she would feel stuck. And like, she really only had one way out, potentially.
Yeah. One more thing about the curse, really quickly, that actress who played Terry is Victoria Vetri. And she was very, very popular leading up to this movie, and maybe for a little bit afterwards too. She starred in a lot of films. But she was supposed to be on Cielo Drive on the night that the
Oh.
Sharon Tate murders happened. She was invited to be there and she didn't
Oh.
go. She just stayed home. And it really fucked her up, as you might
Yeah, no
imagine.
shit.
And she left the industry. After that, I don't know if she did a little bit more, but she mostly left the industry. And she carried a gun with her all the time after that. Anyway, she shot her husband. He's alive. It's fine. You should watch this episode of television. It was honestly a very hilarious interview. He was like, she shot me, and the bullet's still in there. Doctor said it's in my shoulder. I still love her. Like, that
As
was
he
the
should.
vibes. He has this like sick mullet. But yeah, it's just another life that, went
Was affected by
was
everything.
affected at the very, very least. So I would love
Also,
to see
just
some
to.
of I would love to see some of her films from prior to this. They look like fun, sort of like pulpy ones, sexy pulpy kind of movies.
Well, what's interesting also, she also was a Playboy model at one point, was Playmate of the
Yes.
Year. But she went by a different name at that time. Her stage name was Angela Dorian. Victoria Vetri is her real name. And the line in the movie is, "Oh, you look like that actress, Victoria Vetri." Like, do you get that all the time?
Yeah.
And she's like, "Oh yeah, but I don't see it." And I watched this movie with my
Oh.
dad, and he confused her for somebody else. So like right when she popped up, he was like, "Who is that?" And we like stopped and looked it up, primed ourselves for the line. And
That's
then I
so
was like, "What a
funny. I didn't
funny
realize
little
that."
joke." But it wasn't even like a joke exactly at the time because nobody knew her as that. It was just like a little Easter egg for like the real Victoria Vetri girls.
Well,
That's
I
like
think she was a
so funny.
Playboy model later on, maybe, because
She
when
was
they
the
showed,
Playmate of
like,
the Year in 1968.
oh, okay. Because when she was like the star, it said like blah 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 at Victoria Vetri as blah blah blah. Like it said that it showed like a clip from a movie and it had that name. I don't know. I don't
Yeah,
know,
if you
but
go on
another.
Wikipedia, she was like credited and everything as Angela Dorian up until her movie in 1969 that came out, and then it looks like she started using Victoria Vetri after that.
Okay. Another fun thing is that she is married to a man who bought the like sexy car that she like posed with when she was the Playboy of the Year, who's like way younger than her. So big slay for her. She is, and she shot her husband and went to jail for 8 years, and now she's out and she's living her best life. So very interesting. Oh, she shot him because he cheated on her.
Again, good for her.
Her life's a revenge film. But anyway, back to this movie. It was hard. The point I was making to bring up Terry and all that was just to say it's hard to hate Roman and Minnie fully because they wear the flyest fits in all the land. But if Minnie talked to me for even 1 second, I would throw myself into traffic. That is the most annoying person who's ever
I
existed.
think she slays. And I also
He's
was about to be like,
so
oh my God,
nosy.
wait, his
Yeah,
name
but
is
that would be me.
Roman. And then I was
Like
gonna make
Roman
connections, but I
Polanski?
guess it must have been Roman in the book that was
It was,
adapted.
yeah.
So never mind.
I know, I almost did the same thing. I was like, interesting self
Whoa.
insert. And then I was
Sir.
like, oh no, it's
Yeah.
literally pulled from the book.
Well, because also, in terms of names and references, when I was making connections to Late Night with the Devil, which I did very early on, once they had that dinner scene, basically, I was like, oh shit, like, is that why her name in Late Night with the Devil is Minnie? Like, obviously,
Minnie?
calling her Rosemary would be a little on the nose, but like, Minnie is an interesting way to reference without
A
necessarily giving
clear
something
reference.
away.
I like that. That's cool. Yeah.
Okay, I love
Ooh.
that.
I
I
love that. Beautiful brain,
was
beautiful
like, I see
brain.
you.
Beautiful
Beautiful
brain moment.
brain.
Yeah, I don't the actual like impregnation scene. Maybe we call it that. It's a rape scene.
And she calls it that too. She calls it that in the movie even.
Yeah. It's so interestingly done and so horrifically done. When I went to the screening, the Sinespia screening of Rosemary's Baby, they had a photo booth thing where it was like you were on the bed and there's these crazy lights like all around you, behind you. I posted one of them on my Instagram. I'll bring it back this week for social. But yeah, it's like the bed and it's like the that moment when she's like on the bed and the bed's kind of like floating in the water and it's clear that the bed is sort of like untethered from reality in her mind. It was like kind of playing with that idea in the photo booth. And I just forgot how amazing that dream sequence really is. It's so surreal. It's so interesting how she like takes the audio of what she's actually hearing and synthesizes it with what's in her mind and things she's worrying about, like the part when they're leaving Hutch behind and all of that. Like it just was really, really effective, and the nudity was so effective because it was just so horrific. Like she was so vulnerable, and those claws on her body. Oh my god.
Ooh. Okay, but so fun fact, you know, we know that she is having getting, sex with the devil.
Yeah, he's getting fucked by the devil.
Got feathers.
Devil. Yeah. Freaky. But she wakes up and she has like all these like claw marks on her. And Guy, worst human ever, is like, yeah, I was having like a little necrophilia moment with you.
That
like,
little
I didn't want to waste.
I wrote that dialogue down. I'm so fucking mad at him.
But here's the thing. Fun fact. Rape wasn't considered rape if you were married. Like,
marital
the
rape
definition,
was okay.
Well, the definition of rape was like forced sexual intercourse with a woman that wasn't your wife. And you want to know what year marital rape became illegal in all 50 states?
Let me guess. 1995.
1993.
I'm
gonna die. Like, okay.
Yep.
Cool.
We live in a terrible society. Yeah.
We live in a society.
But also that scene, it's so fucked because like as soon as she like looks at the scratches, he's like, oh yeah, don't worry, baby. I already filed these down after last night. Like he's such a little bitch ass bitch.
I hate him.
So manic in that moment, you know. I'm like, you're not that good of an actor. That was my takeaway. He's supposed to be doing his big scene right there. You know, not the actor in reality. I'm talking about Guy, the character. Because he's being so weird about it and he's trying to play it off. And then, like, even Rosemary says in the following scenes, like, are we going to talk about how you haven't looked at me in days? Like,
yes.
It's just, I don't understand how this man can carry the guilt of what he's taken from now two people. He's taken away that man's sight. That man that he got his part, he took away his sight. Like, he literally went to his house, stole his tie, and
they did a tie swap
him.
At the bar.
They did a tie swap, classic. Like, it's just, it's so, so fucking horrific that he just can. Like, obviously
he's just
affected
chill
by
with
it, but then
he
can compartmentalize it in like a day and a half.
Yeah, so, like, he's like, I never called that man, like I said, so I don't have to ever look at him or face what I did to him. And I do still live with my wife, Rosemary, but I'm just gonna cast my gaze askew until she's not pregnant anymore. And then I'll be like, oh, people lose pregnancies and babies all the time. We'll just try again.
Like, it's fine.
Also, like, backtracking just for 1 second, what before this, like, Rosemary had met up with Hutch and she was crying because she had been completely neglected by him since he blinded that man and he got more famous. He had just been so enthralled with his career and focusing on that he'd been completely neglecting her. And then his solution is the classic no-no solution. If your marriage is failing, he was like,
let's
have
a
baby.
Baby.
That's
going to solve everything.
Like, every also, fucking red flag. He didn't even
need it as a marital solution to keep her tethered to him as his wife. He said, this is also for my career, by the way.
Yep.
Clearly, he had been resisting having a baby with her, even though they talked about it before, even though they said they wanted to, even though they planned on having three. They already discussed how many children they were going to have. But he's clearly been putting it off because when he tells her, she's like, really? Finally? Really? We get to do it? Like, clearly this is something she's been wanting, asking him about. He said he would do. And he just keeps, like, kicking the can down the road a little more and a little more. And, of course, when he finally gives in, now, it's not even to save their relationship as a Hail Mary because he's been ignoring her. It's because...
it's a debt
role. It's not going to make a career, girl.
Deal with the devil.
Yeah.
I gotta do more.
Well, I think that was the thing all the time. They're like, we'll jumpstart your career and then you in return will do this for us. And so they had to like give him a taste of the good life.
They had to show him what he could have.
The power is real.
Yeah.
Now you're hooked.
I hate him.
First time he's free.
And I just hate how he like explains away all of these things to just keep her so isolated. Like the fact that she doesn't see any of her friends, that everyone's in on it. Like they get her to go to that doctor. The doctor's like, don't listen to your friends. Don't read books.
Don't
like, just
read
listen
books.
To me.
Like,
oh,
it's really, here's the thing. It becomes really scary too, because like you can see how like people could easily become like in this situation, right? Because like that's your doctor, right? You feel like you should be able to trust your doctor, all this kind of stuff. Like that's your
and
husband.
He's the best. Like, he's the best doctor. Everyone says he's the best. And not only that, Hutch says that guy delivered two of his daughter's kids. And so it's like, I don't really know Roman and Minnie. These people are new to me, but I know Hutch. I trust Hutch. And so not that he's vouching for this guy from an inside perspective, but this guy has established himself enough that he should be a trustworthy source. And he's just not.
And also like, he's a doctor. So like, this is his job. Know what I mean? Like when you are having a child, you want your doctor to know what's good for you.
Yeah, you're raised in a society that tells you to trust figures of authority in your life, and doctors
especially,
are one
Catholic,
of them.
Girl, that's literally part of her uprising, right? Too. Like,
yeah.
Oh my god, the part in the dream sequence made me so sad when the Pope is coming along, and I discussed that part a lot with my dad too, because he was like, what does that mean? Like, we discussed a lot of the imagery before I came over here, so I'm prepped. But the point with the Pope where she's like, oh, the mouse bit me and it kept me away, like the chocolate mousse kept her away from the Pope. She's saying that as she's literally like being thrusted into by the devil just out of frame. The way that it is separating, not that she is like actively Catholic in the beginning of this movie, she's kind of giving off of like, I wasn't that anymore, I'm separated from that, but I don't really know what to do with my experience of that and like what comes next. Like now she's being actively not antagonized exactly, but like actively they're putting a wedge between her and anything she could reach out to on that. She has these ideas in her mind now, even if it's just a dream to her, about how like that's not something in her reach anymore.
Yeah, it's crazy. And also I think it's so interesting too, like I feel like the baby's in on it.
Yeah, that baby, like, knows.
Okay, well, the pain thing was so weird. Like the pain thing was like a tool to ostracize her even more because she was too weak to get help because she was debilitated. And then like it was just enough where she wasn't gonna run and go get help because she's dying. But like, and she trusts her doctor, like we've already discussed. But once it finally got to a boiling point where it seemed like she was going to do something rash and leave Saperstein and say fuck you to all these people and like listen to her friends that she finally saw, like that
I
dinner party was so sad.
Scene at the party.
Oh my god.
Yes.
They're like shoving guy out, literally shoving him out the door, being like, get the fuck out of here. We are talking to our friend right now. Yeah, this is girl time. She's fucked up. She's been in pain since literally November. Months of pain. Where everyone is telling her it's normal. 1 to 2 more days and then it'll stop. Nobody is listening to her. I'm not telling her to get an abortion. I'm just telling her, get a second opinion. This is not normal.
No, totally.
And then he's like, oh, those bitches. Like, he literally calls them bitches. And he's like, shut your dirty little mouth.
Also, which all their friends. Which is so common around, like,
abusers.
They will, like, absolutely isolate you from your friends.
Well, and he's controlling the phone. Like, he always runs to the phone to get to it first. So think of all the calls that, like, he totally dissuaded from her. And she's probably sleeping a lot because she's in a lot of pain. And maybe they're putting sedative in her little drinky. You know what I mean? So, like, the time might not seem quite as long as it actually was. But meanwhile, she has been in pain for 4 months at this point. I'm pretty sure the party was in February because it's after their little New Year's Eve shenanigan thing. That part was really creepy, too, because they're like, let's ring in the new year for year one or whatever. Because they're, like, going to start the new... Mm-hmm. The new world order with
I also
Satan Jr.
When they were like, yay, it's 1966 now. And I was like, that's literally so weird. Why are they randomly setting this movie in 1966 when it's coming out in 1968? Yeah,
but
I mean,
the baby's due in June.
The baby is due in the sixth month of 66. So it's a six, six, six. Yeah.
Oh, I still didn't get it until you said it. I didn't get it. I that was also like, the year that the Satanist cult thing or whatever Satanists went out and were like, we're Satanists. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was like right then. So that's why I thought it was. But no, yeah, 666. Oh, yeah. But like the baby stopped, I don't know, biting her inside tummy. Like right at the moment when it seemed like she was going to go do
something. And let's
also
not forget, she keeps eating like raw meat. Too, like she's eating like,
you know,
chicken livers.
She's just
and
like
who?
Bella Swan
Bella
and Twilight.
Swan and Twilight Breaking Dawn.
It all comes back to Twilight.
Stephanie
she's
Meyer
like
was like, gaunt. I know about film history. I know about literature.
Where she steps out and there's like this shadows making her face look like a little skull. And then she has her short hair too. Not that the pixie cut is a Twilight Breaking Dawn part thing, because again,
Vidal
only Alice
she goes to Vidal Sassoon.
And there's like lore about that haircut also, but like the way it like shows off her very angular face now as she becomes more gaunt over time, and then she's eating the raw liver, and then I mean, what I know from Twilight Breaking Dawn part one is that the baby was hurting her, but it didn't mean to, you know what I mean? And as soon as it realized that,
well, that
it was
baby
like
is
able
nice
to protect like love. So like, you know, maybe this baby loves its mother also. It doesn't have to be hurting her on purpose to still be the son of Satan.
Yeah.
So true. It was just weird cosmic timing. Yeah. But okay, say the lore of the haircut.
The lore of the haircut is Vidal Sassoon is the name of a real hairstylist. And yes, a lot of people thought that Mia Farrow cut her hair short for this movie, for this role. And they did a very public PR moment for the movie, some publicity where Vidal Sassoon flew to Hollywood and like trimmed her hair for her for $5,000. And it was like a whole fucking thing. But people were like, oh my God, it ruined her beauty. And Frank Sinatra divorced her because of her boyish haircut. Actually, though, she says that she cut her hair short with nail scissors herself 2 years earlier, and that Frank Sinatra really liked it, so she kept it short, and that she wore wigs for all of her other roles, and that her hair was 1.5 inches long, and Vidal Sassoon just came out and trimmed it to 1 inch as a publicity stunt. And, like, you can see in the pictures, her hair is already short. That was her haircut. That was her thing. She liked it. Her husband at the time liked it. Everybody was like, Vidal Sassoon's favorite haircut that launched Mia Farrow's career. She's like, no, that was my fucking haircut that I gave myself, bitch. Like, give me a little credit.
That's so dumb. Yeah, you could tell that the bob at the beginning was a wig. So
But she looks
I didn't know so she was cute, doing that though. All the time. Yeah. It looks so cute. I love it.
Some people can't pull off like a cunt ass bob. She
can't. She's got the bone structure. Like, yeah. She's gorgeous.
Yeah.
But a lot of people were like, she looks so ugly with this weird haircut. Why did she do this? Oh, I know. They did this in the movie so that she would look sickly when she is pregnant. And that I mean, sucks. I think they're
poor Mia.
You know, I think there probably is. There is a haircut in the book. At Vital Sassoon and or with Vital Sassoon. That sounds like the name of a salon to me, but it's a person. And she does
now
cut
it's
it
a
short.
Salon.
Oh, well, maybe that's why. Yeah. I was not alive in the 60s.
What?
But I know my youthful beauty makes it seem so... like I've been this way forever. Like,
but you have such,
this is
like
brand new information.
You have this like ancient wisdom though.
You should hear what I'm about to say, girl. Because my dad was also like, what's the deal with the haircut? And I was like, well, I think, you know, there's probably a lot of reasons. Again, one of them is, I think, the practicality of a short pixie cut showing off the angles of her face, especially if she's like losing weight for the role, or they're just like trying to make it appear as though she's losing weight. But also like the transformation aspect of it, obviously it's not like a breakup haircut, but it's very easy to read it as like needing a change, whether it's because she has this like traumatic experience that she doesn't really understand or process that she's gone through, and she needs to like separate the her that exists now from the her that existed before. Or if she is in many ways like reclaiming her own body.
That's what I was going to say. It's like her body has been like her ownership of her body has been taken away, you know, in a way. I mean, in so many different ways. And so this is her being like, fuck you.
I'm reclaiming this. Even if it's just like my baby is borrowing my body. And even though it's a wanted child, as far as I know, it's still hard to contend with. But also like these people are controlling what she eats. They're like involved in all these other aspects of her life now and what she's allowed to do and who she can see. So like this is one way for her to reclaim agency. And her husband is such a bitch about it. And it's like, why would you do that? And it's like, first of all, it's trendy, bitch. Second of all, I look like Twiggy. Third of all, who asked you? This is my hair on my
head. I do
head
what
and
I want.
My body. But I said all that to my dad, and he was just like, okay, so you're getting really deep with it. And I was like, well, if the subject material is there, girl, like, yeah. I don't know if you guys know, but like, film is open to interpretation.
No, that totally makes sense. Totally agree. I totally agree with that read. Oh, man. And that then, like, everything's so dire, and then after that moment where the pain subsides, she really gets to enjoy her pregnancy, you know, at least for a little bit, and do all the cute things and get the nursery going and all of that jazz. But like, we've totally forgotten at this point everything that's happened with Hutch, because there's been so much else. Like, Hutch came by that one day, they obviously put a witch's curse on him, and he's gone into this coma for 3 months. And
after he lost his glove, they took it
after he lost his glove. It's just, it's so creepy that that's how they can do it. They just have something of yours and they can end your fucking life. Like, it's
very
concept.
Voodoo doll adjacent.
I can do that. It's chill, so fun.
Oh my god. I'm never getting on Sydney's bad side. As a reminder. But yeah, it's just so sad, that moment when she realizes that her friend is gone, and she hadn't really been paying attention to the fact that she was losing him. I just thought that was so sad too. And just the whole revelation of everything, I thought was just really, really fun. Like, that's a friend to the end. Hutch is a homie forever. His dying breath, no joke, he comes back alive and he's like, it's an anagram, give her the book. Like, literally, that's what he was trying to do, is save her even in that final moment. And I loved this whole like Scrabble bit. I loved that so much. Maybe
that was fun.
Bananagrams real bad.
That would have like really got me, because I'm horrible at anagrams. I'd be like, I don't know how to spell. How do you expect me to think of other words from this?
Yeah.
It's such a good revelation. And it was interesting piecing the whole thing together too, because like they say at the beginning that what's his name? I have it written down. Hold on. Where did I write it down?
Something Mercado.
I found it. Adrian Marcato. So there's the Tretch sisters who lived in this apartment house. And they're Victorian ladies. They cooked and ate children. And then also Adrian Marcato lived there, and he was famous because he quote unquote brought back the living devil and then was attacked in the lobby. And then just last year, in the movie world, Hutch brings up that a dead infant was found in the basement. So that's Daddy Adrian Marcato. He had his son Stephen Marcato, who turns out to be Roman Castavet. Is that how you say it?
Castavets, yeah.
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 So Adrian brought back the devil, and then Stephen carries on the torch to try to create the devil's like version of Jesus, like his begotten son or
The
whatever,
Antichrist.
the Antichrist. And he had tried and failed the year before with that baby, that passed away, and then failed again with Terry, and then now it's Rosemary. I hadn't like put together all the details before, but it was very fun to just see that timeline. But also obviously bad. That's bad that they're doing that.
Yeah.
But exciting.
Exciting, but bad.
But bad. But like poor thing too, because the things that she's saying to all the people that she's asking for help from, like the way that she's saying that, because she's freaking out, like they're like, this is a woman who has a hormone imbalance from her pregnancy and is off her rocker a little bit right now. And like, it's just so sad because, like, how do you say something that insane is happening to you? Like, how can you make someone believe that when you don't have anyone who's ride or die around you at all? Like, your husband is the villain. Your parents are out of the fucking picture. Your bestie died. Like, your other besties, I don't know if they can handle witchcraft at this time. Like, she goes to another person of authority, but that doctor's like,
Clearly, she
what?
needs her regular doctor who's been treating
Yes,
her and
like,
seeing her. Like, it's
exactly.
a logical conclusion for him to jump to. It sure would have been fucking nice if he'd said, she doesn't trust her doctor. She doesn't trust her husband. I'm going to find out. I'm going to call them if I think I need to call them, but I also want to make sure there's someone there she does feel comfortable and safe with and trust.
That would have
Like,
been
why can't
cool.
I find a third person who makes her feel safe instead of sending her away with the exact people she's terrified of?
Yeah. No, that whole thing was so horrific. That realization after she's had like that moment of peace and she thinks that like she's gotten
She's safe.
away and she's gonna be safe.
Wrong.
Wrong again. Oh, man.
Wrong.
It's so terrible. And I had forgotten about the very, very end of this movie, just the way that guy handles that as well. Like, because they have that whole altercation. They get back to the apartment and she breaks away, very bad bitch of her to do all these stunts while pregnant, jumping out of fucked up elevators. Elevators were difficult back then, okay? Brave of her to
Yeah.
do the elevator on her own, okay? Dangerous. She's doing Tom Cruise level stunt work here.
She did get like actually pushed into the streets of New York. Like,
Yeah. No, Roman Polanski had her legit just walk into traffic and was like, don't worry,
yeah.
nobody's gonna hit a pregnant
Nobody's
woman.
gonna hit you.
And then he did the camera operating for that scene because nobody else fucking wanted to do it walking into traffic behind her.
Yeah.
But
And then insane.
that was not movie traffic. That was real fucking traffic.
Roman, can we not do that? Also, you got to get them all the signed releases now. He's
Not in
not
the
thinking it's
60s.
not in the 60s.
Also, I don't know. Maybe if their faces aren't in it. But yeah, I mean, that scene was crazy. That stunt is crazy. And then I do love the way that she goes bad bitch when she's at home. She's like,
yeah,
getting away, throwing the door shut, like wrestling at the door.
Do they come in the other door? Is that how they get in? I can't remember.
Yeah,
right now.
You see her like standing guard basically, and then you see two of them like sneaking in the background behind her, and then you realize they've come through the closet that had been blocked by the secretary when Mrs. Gardenia was at her end of days.
Did you guys find it clear, filmmaking wise, that that closet was a door to the other room? Because I was reading this like comparison of the book to the movie, and some people thought that that wasn't communicated well in the film. I don't remember having that experience ever, but they were like, it's very clear in the book and it's not clear in this. I mean, I feel like it's fine if that's the revelation that right then that they come through the closet, and that's why the secretary was pushed in front of the closet in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I caught on pretty quickly that there was going to be a hidden door or something there, and that's why the secretary was there in the first place. And then in my notes, I have one after the visit to Dr. Hill where I wrote the closet. I knew it was the closet. So, like,
it's always
that's
the
moment
closet.
It's confirmed, I guess.
Yeah.
My dad missed some elements when we were watching it the first time. So we went back and we like rewatched some scenes together. And there's also a moment, not that I caught this at all on my own the first time, but during the dream sequence, there is a moment where it's like passing under the shelves with her little floral shelf liner that she's put on in that closet. So you can also see this like visual moment of her being presumably carried through into the other apartment.
Okay. Yeah, I
so
thought it was
sprinkling
pretty clear.
For sure. I don't think you're supposed to know for sure because they look in the closet, there's nothing there, and they're just like, it's just a vacuum. What's the deal? Blah, blah, blah. And then she realizes later, like, oh, these shelves are modular. They can come up, they can come down, they can be moved. So, like, there's implications. I think you're supposed to suspect funny business, but not
they
know
used to
for
be
sure.
The same apartment.
Yeah, they're too, all,
and the walls
yeah.
are so fucking paper thin, mm-hmm. You know, which I have things to say about when we get to this very next scene. But yeah, I feel bad that her bad bitchery turns to labor immediately because she was doing such a great job.
Well, but also with that sneaky scene, and lots of parts of this movie, but that sneaky scene in particular was when I was really like, this is very Hereditary also, where you're just like noticing little people in the background. And then the naked scene, which is like
that
in earlier
totally,
in the dream sequence, that is 100%.
When they're all chanting. Yeah. I was like getting payment vibes for sure. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they at the end when they're like, Hail Satan, like that feels very Hail Payment in that final
with
scene.
With the smiles on their faces and all of that. Yeah, no,
but
totally.
But I have an early note on it too, with like the neighbors ingratiating themselves into their lives. That felt very like the woman in Hereditary who Toni Collette meets and then is like, oh, come over to my apartment, like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And they're hanging out, they're doing grief group together, and then they have the little chalkboard. You know what I mean? I was like, this is that. This is the cult inserting itself right now.
No, it's so cool to watch the like classic films that like are
influenced.
So integral to movies that we love from today. Like that's how I felt watching Wicker Man just a couple of weeks ago for Midsommar. Ari Aster has done his homework on horror history. Good boy. But yeah, I was so frustrated again by Guy because I just feel like he's such a fuck up in all this. He sucks so bad. But like their whole gimmick was that like the baby was supposed to have not survived, but he literally like tells her that the baby is alive. And it's a boy. Like, he's so stupid. I don't understand what's going on.
I think that was like a dream sequence. So I think that is not necessarily supposed to be information that we can trust as reality so much as that's like Rosemary coming to for a second and imagining that everything is okay. And then when she actually wakes up, it's with the cult ladies sitting by her side, Lara Louise sitting by her side or whatever.
She's so annoying.
Being like, I'm in
Laura
charge of
Louise,
you, girl. Yeah.
her vibe and her look is similar to the lady from Hereditary who has a similar role.
I just similar love her name. Style.
Lara Louise, put it on your baby name list.
Louise is already on there, so.
An homage to Lara Louise, Bad Bitch Central.
Exactly.
The thing that really bothers me, though, is that this is like a coven that has been around for years, and they know everything about this apartment complex. This has been their home base for forever. I'm just like, can't you find an apartment on another fucking floor or something to put the baby so she can't hear the baby through the paper thin walls? You fucking know that the walls are paper thin. You know.
I feel like they want her to hear
Roman
the baby.
Roman for sure does. Yeah.
Like they want her to be a mother.
I think Roman and Minnie were willing to take the risk that she was going to investigate. I think Guy is a stupid bitch enough to think that he could be like, well, Roman and Minnie were, they went traveling to Dubrovnik because Roman's going to die soon. So that's a new couple with a baby. Yeah, really good job figuring out that the new couple who lives there has a baby. Anyway, don't ask anything else about it. It's fine. Don't worry about it, girl. I got you.
I hate him so much. I hate him so much. Look on his face when she comes around the corner with that knife and he's just immediately like a pathetic little bitch ass bitch. Oh, I was like, yes, hang your head in shame. Hang your head in shame.
The way he literally is like,
yeah,
I look away. Yeah.
He can't face it. Oh.
Yeah. I mean, he abandons her basically as soon as he agrees to do anything. And now that I'm looking at the end of my notes again, I see that I also noticed in the dream sequence when she's in the Catholics only boat on her way to heaven. I don't know what the implication is
Catholics
exactly.
Only yacht.
Catholics
actually.
Only yacht.
But she pulls her ring off, or her ring is pulled off too. So that's like symbolic of like from that moment on, you know, the marriage is fucking toast. So totally. Do you know who supposedly one of those brunette ladies was in that scene?
No.
Jackie Kennedy, apparently.
Oh.
Apparently JFK and Jackie Kennedy get shouted in the book. And it was not clear to me in the movie, but you can see on IMDb trivia that some woman is credited as playing Jackie Kennedy. And my dad and I were both really trying to figure out who the guy is at the end. That's the random Greek dude at the party.
Oh, yeah.
Argyron Stavropoulos. And I don't know for sure. My dad was like, that's the devil. I was like, I don't think that's the devil, but I guess we don't know for
that's
certain.
That's just some guy.
But, the devil well, got I looked feathers. Up, and I what I found convinced me, but apparently people on the internet on a site called Film Boards, which is sort of like an IMDb message board place back when IMDb message boards were a thing, they suspect that he is sort of referential to Aristotle Onassis, aka the like Greek shipping magnate or very
that Jackie
rich
Kennedy
Greek
married
guy.
After
yeah,
JFK.
That Jackie Kennedy married after JFK. And so he's there to sort of make you think of him and suggest to you, again, kind of like Late Night with the Devil, that very wealthy, successful people are affiliated with this cult, and very possibly their
way?
Success, yeah, is due to their affiliation with the cult. So he's there to sort of go, oh, very rich Greek guy coming in. I, in 1968, have the immediate cultural reference point of Aristotle Onassis. I don't have that now. Didn't even know who that was. My dad was like, that's the much older guy that was married to Jackie Kennedy. And I was like, before JFK? But turns out it was after. Like, I didn't know at all. I assumed Onassis
I didn't
was
know the
her
timeline.
Maiden name. I never looked into it. But yeah, so I think that that's what that is doing there. But it's one of those things where when you're watching a movie from 1968, a zillion years later.
You're not going to get those cultural references. You don't have the same
cultural touchstones. Yeah. What maybe would have been very clear to viewers at the time is not necessarily something that's going to be screamingly obvious to us.
Yeah, I was wondering about that because I was like, this would be a great opportunity to be like, hee hee ha ha, which person that do you know who's in the coven, you know?
Even like Death Becomes Her status where it's like, oh, yeah, there is exactly. John Lennon walking in the background or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. No, that's so fun. Okay, here's my comparison to Immaculate. It's pretty on the nose. What happens in Immaculate? Spoiler alerts for Immaculate. It's the same thing. You know it's going to be the same thing as this movie. It's pretty clear. Uh-huh. It's an Immaculate Conception thing. How can it be that something bad's happening? Okay, they're trying to put Satan in her. That's what's happening, okay? And so she gives birth to the baby. And I won't spoil more than that. But when she gives birth to the baby, I was screaming in my mind and maybe a little bit out loud to Simon. I was like, show the baby, show the baby. Cause I wanted to see it. I wanted to see what it looked like. Cause it obviously looked fucked up because Sydney Sweeney is like, oh! And so that's that same face. Yeah. That's what I was thinking with this movie too. I was like, show me the fucking baby. Show me its little hooves. I bet it's a little fucking goat. I want to see it so bad. And I'm still so mad that neither of these movies showed me the fucking baby. I want to see it. I know it'd be stupid. I know I usually say I don't want to see the monster, but in this case, it could have been cute.
I would argue you do see the baby. It
a little bit.
Yeah, you see the eyes. It has its father's eyes. And you see the spooky devil eyes in the dream sequence. And then my dad and I like went frame by frame until we saw the eyes at the end of this one.
It's just the eyes, though. I want to see its hooves. Just the eyes. It said, look at his hands. Have you ever seen
a werewolf cat? They're like kind of hairless and they look like werewolves. Have you ever seen those?
Oh, you know what? I think so, but I think that I didn't know that that's what they were called.
Like Google werewolf cat. Like that's what the baby looks like a little bit in the like I want one of these cats so bad.
They're so cute, but it's like giving like
get one of those and a sphinx cat and then they will just be the weirdest little odd couple.
They're called a Likoi. Ooh, yeah, sexy.
But like this is the vibe that the baby in like the little brief thing was giving. And I was like, I love it.
Okay. What? At the end, they're like, hail Satan. Hail son of Satan. Hail Adrian. And my dad was like, that guy, Stavropoulos, before we figured out what his deal was and we turned on the subtitles to see what his fucking name was. My dad was like, that's Adrian. And I was like, I don't think that's Adrian. I think Adrian is the baby. But I Googled Adrian Rosemary's Baby to see more. And apparently there's a sequel or a television show or something for Rosemary's Baby. And it's just a normal looking baby that showed up on that like fan wiki page. So like, where are its hooves?
Where are its hooves? Where are its hooves?
Where are its hooves?
I'm still looking at these cats right now, and I found a furry version if anyone's interested. Are there any furries out there who want to be a Likoi cat?
I want one of these cats.
Oh, you've got the inspo pics for them.
I can't stop looking at them, but I get like full body chills every time I look at them. Like, I'm actually really freaked out.
Are you seeing Mooney the werewolf cat? Because I like his vibe especially. You go to werewolf cat images.
Yeah. Oh, he's got a really good vibe.
I like him.
Oh, man. Wow. I'm feeling a lot of feelings right now. I have to look away. But here's a discussion question for you. Would you stay with Son of Satan Baby? Would you be its mama? Or would you be like, bye?
Well, she's always wanted to be a mother, and she's been looking forward to this for a long time, and that is her biological child.
I don't blame it either way.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly understand how she looks at him horrified, slowly comes around to the idea by virtue of the fact that that's my baby and it's crying because fucking Laura Louise is shaking him and he's gonna get fucking shaken baby syndrome if she doesn't chill the fuck out. And also this Laura is my Louise chance to assert myself to Laura Louise, and now Roman is like encouraging me to like have some agency, and Minnie is like, show her some respect, that's Adrian's mother. Like, I can see they're like, you don't have to be in the cult, girl. Just like be its mommy.
Just be cult adjacent.
Yeah. I mean, I can certainly see how she would be like, that's my baby. I ride or die for him no matter what. Or how she would be like, that's my baby. I could save him. He just needs a positive influence in his life. Maybe. Let or me get him away shout out- from the cult.
Shout out to my baby. Let's do a murder suey.
Shout out to my baby. You're coming with me. And where we're going is off the side of the building. Yeah. I mean, I okay. Obviously, the only thing that I knew about this movie going in is that she gets impregnated with the son of Satan. And that is, you know, kind of the whole plot. But I was surprised by that moment. I know. Well, there's a lot going on, obviously, but that's like the overarching story. And I don't know how it was advertised because, again, on Roku, they love to fucking do a spoiler in their summary when you're looking for a film. Just like the one that it showed me for Possession. That was fucking Roku. So it was basically like, oh, she gets impregnated with the son of Satan. Do you want to watch this movie? And again, thankfully, I knew that already. The only thing I knew. But I was so surprised by the ending being like her slowly walking over and like kind of tenderly rocking the baby and being like, maybe, I don't know. I don't, let me just sink for a minute.
Yeah, no, I remember being surprised by that the first time I saw it too. But that's also because I'm not very baby positive at this point or at any point yet in my life. Whenever I think of having a baby, I seize up and I'm like,
In terms of your actual question, I certainly don't think at this point in my life I would stand by my antichrist child because I'm not looking to stand by any child, let alone one that is going to have so many
bring about the end of time
challenges in terms of raising it, you know.
And also, like, that just seems difficult, right? Like, this child's not going to behave. It's going to be like, actually, I'm the chosen one. And we all know how that one goes.
I assume we're now going into Omen, the first Omen territory. But I didn't see those yet, so.
I really want to see the first Omen. It's the girl from Servant or whatever. The M. Night Shyamalan show. I just realized that because there's an ad on my IMDb. Mm. And I was like, oh, that's what I know her from. She's really talented and very spooky. And I heard that was actually really good. Unlike Immaculate. Sorry, babe. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Sydney. Not you, Sydney. Sydney
Other
Sweeney.
Sweeney, Sydney.
But also sorry to you, Sydney, that you had to see it and you had a bad time. And you didn't even laugh.
I did. Yeah. I did. No laughing. It was me, Lucy, and one other couple watching this movie. Oh
my God. Not a bunch of horror fans in your... Every time you say you go to a movie to see a horror movie, you're like, there were two people there.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah. I just wanted to share two more of my dad's questions and observations because he was very proud of himself for one of them, so I'm giving him his shouts. The first one I don't think was purposeful necessarily, but I do think it's interesting. The moment before their romantic dinner, chocolate mouse, blah, 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 that whole evening when they're like sitting by the fire and he turns the fire on and then they have to like open the flue. My dad was like, the fireplace and all the smoke coming up, does that mean Satan's coming in? He was really convinced that that was a little visual storytelling for ya. And then he also at the end summed up the movie by being like, it's the battle between good and evil and a mother's love. Do I get credit for that? I was like, yeah, girl. Yeah girl, I'm writing it down.
Slay.
So true. So true.
So true. So real. It is the battle between good and evil and a mother's love.
Thank you for giving him his laurels. He deserves it for that. It's poetic. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. Okay. Sorry about earlier. Sydney, what time is it?
It's time for segment twos.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
We have to ask the age-old question, how could this movie be gayer? And I'll start off by saying if at the point where she married Guy, she didn't, and she married a woman, none of this would have happened.
Right. If back in the day, Those sisters who ate children weren't sisters. They were probably just like roommates back in the
1800s. History will say they were sisters.
That's gay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's gay.
They were lesbian cannibals.
Amazing. Yay!
Lesbian cannibals.
Everybody loves lesbian
cannibals. A slay for representation. there, I did see something online when talking about her haircut that said it was anti-lesbian propaganda. Because she gets it at the point of the movie where she's now carrying the child of Satan. And so even though she is this like
motherly vessel.
Yeah, motherly vessel, divine feminine, following the woman's path of husband and kids. She's actually no longer a proper woman anymore because it's Satan's child. So they had to give her lesbian
haircut.
I don't really know what that person
kind of lost
like
the plot
for,
in that
exactly.
one
but
kinda lost
like,
the thread
okay,
there
interesting question mark maybe she's a lesbian after this. I do think Minnie and Guy, or not Minnie and Guy, Minnie and Roman, that feels like Lavender marriage adjacent. Possibly they could also be both bisexuals. They could be both loud, colorful bisexuals.
Oh yeah,
that also feels
chaos,
very
bisexuals,
orgy,
that tracks.
Yeah, they're out there.
They could be pansexual.
Uh-huh, Which ear was pierced?
Yeah.
Was it
I
the
gay?
Oh,
I had that thought too. Because I was like, they don't do anything else with the earrings other than be like, isn't it so interesting he's got a pierced ear? I
love
think it
how
was
scandalous that was.
His right ear. I don't know if that's.
Should I
think
Google
that's
which
the gay
ear is the gay ear again? Which ear is the gay ear? The right ear.
Ooh.
Gay.
Gay. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, first of all, like, look at them all in there. You know what I mean? Like, they're definitely all a big open poly community.
Of course, as they should be. As is their right in a satanic coven.
Yeah. And not all satanic covens. They're like doing the bad representation, you know what I mean? Where it's like, look, just because this satanic coven, this satanic poly queer coven is sacrificing children, doesn't mean they all are, okay?
This
like,
satanic polycule. That not all satanic polycules are like that, okay? And we have to remember that and we have to say it out loud, okay?
Only the fun ones are.
Well, they also live in New York and they're part of like the larger theater community, you know what I mean? So I have to imagine that a lot of their friends at their party for people under 60 are queer. Yeah, and maybe that's also part of why Guy is such a little bitch about her and all of her friends and is so like those bitches. He's probably like those lesbian bitches or whatever because
oh,
they're
and we
out
all
here
know
trying to form
straight
connection
men
between
hate
women.
Lesbians.
Yeah, so I think all those ladies in the kitchen were all queer allies.
You might be like my number one most hated person in the movie is Guy.
Guy. He's
like,
such a
that one guy.
Bitch.
That one guy named Guy. Fuck that bitch.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy.
Any
the
other
way
gay
he spanks
thoughts?
Her. He literally, I'm looking at that note right now. He spanks her after he delivered her to the devil to be a womb for the Antichrist so he could have a movie career. He spanks her.
He's
like, leave her alone.
Little comment.
She has had enough.
She has a very short butt. So small. I was like, I can't relate. But yeah. I just want her to go live a gay, beautiful life after this movie because, I mean, no man.
He's literally homophobic, being like, that haircut is bad.
Yeah.
Seriously. Oh, my God. He's just, like, the little ways he tears her down at all times. Ooh. I'm so, I'm irate. It's disgusting.
And you can tell when she's like, if you don't want to go, we won't go. And then she's like, that sounds phony. I really mean it. You can tell it's because in the past he's been like, ugh, bitches are always being passive aggressive, blah, blah, blah. Like, he's for sure pushing that narrative in their relationship.
Oh, yeah.
And she has to be like, I mean what I'm saying right now.
Yeah.
Because you're going to call me a manipulative woman.
I hate him.
I hate him. Any more gay thoughts?
So many more gay thoughts.
Okay, time for Matthew Lillard. Where would we place him in this film? I feel like he would be a great Hutch because I love
Oh.
him and I love Hutch.
I
I
want
don't
him
want
to
him
be
to
the Greek
die,
man.
but oh yeah. Or
Right
that guy with
again.
the
Well, this is
camera.
Matthew Lillard. Yeah, he's playing
Yeah.
himself, I think, maybe.
Yeah.
The guy with the
And here we have
camera.
Matthew Lillard.
And he's like, "You want me to take pictures of you and the Satan baby?" Like, that could be Matthew
Yeah.
Lillard.
Baby's first picture.
Oh my God, like I have a camera. Like, he's so funny. He's like, "Look at the camera. I'm gonna take pictures." I'm like, "Okay, dude, it's still the son of Satan."
No pictures, no pictures.
I feel like he could play, I don't want him to, but like in an updated remake of this, but it was in the 90s, he could play Guy, and be like maybe a little bit less horrible, but like he's good at being evil, you know what I
He'd be
mean?
a great Roman one day.
Yeah, he'd
Okay.
be a really good Roman. I could see him
That
in a
dandy
loud
little
suit.
coat and outfit, yeah, where he looks like he's going
Let's
through a pink-themed barbershop quartet.
not forget that they did like a mini series for they like redid in 2014. They did a like TV mini CV series of Rosemary's Baby
Was it
with
good?
Zoe Saldana and like Patrick like Adams and Jason Isaacs.
I don't know who those second two people
Is
are,
Jason
but
Isaacs Lucius Malfoy? It does
yeah.
and Hook in Hook.
Yeah. Oh my
Does he
God.
play
I didn't
Roman?
realize he was Hook. Yeah. And then Patrick J. Adams is Suits guy, Marion to Campbell Hall alum, Torian Bellisario from Pretty Little Liars.
Slay.
Wow.
Wow. Wow.
Guy.
Wow. I don't, I,
Wow, I don't
that's,
want to watch
what? I
it.
bet that's good casting.
I love Zoe
Probably.
Saldana, but I don't know if I can do it. I need space after this. This was so hard. Like, it was, I watched it twice, literally back to back. It was a long day.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot. And I
It's a
wasn't upset
long
about it.
movie, too. Not that the pacing is bad. I like the pacing, but it is kind of slow. I did get to halfway through, and then we paused for something or other. And then I was like, there's another hour and 15 minutes after this point.
I think it was because I like last night watched half of it and I was only half paying attention. And then I all the way watched the second half of it. And then I immediately started the first half of it, got to the point where I stopped, like started paying attention the night before, and then stopped paying attention again. So,
Gave it one half watch all the way through and one full watch all the way through.
yeah, I had like, I placed the two pieces together, just not in the congruent order, but I heard everything the whole time. So it's in there. But yeah, I think that those are good placements for Maddie. Are you guys good to move on to Dumb Bitch?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's Guy.
It's Guy.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah, and
Guy.
it's Guy.
It's Guy.
Yeah, he
Moving
is
on.
also just like, aside from being a bitch who again sacrificed his wife for his career and not just was like, I'll sacrifice my wife's first child, sacrifices the use of her body, allows her to be sexually assaulted, allows her to be actively in pain from her demon baby for months at a time while gaslighting her about it. He also is fucking scared of that Satan baby. Like, she's like, it's moving. The pain finally stopped and it's moving. And he's like, I am not touching that. You cannot make me. I am running away. I am looking away. I'm at the end of the movie, not acknowledging you or the Satan baby in the corner. I'm literally just here for my Oscar.
Right.
Girl, don't join a Satan cult if you're not going to be into the Satan part.
Like, that's the whole point.
He's a fucking dumbass. I hate him so much. Burn in hell.
He should have
But
gotten
he's
stabbed when
friends
she
with
came in with
Satan,
that
so he'd probably
knife.
be whatever. Yeah, I wish she'd stabbed him. That would have been great. That would have been
I
a
wish
great
she'd
ending.
stabbed him, and then I wish that the baby hated him and that that was, useful in some way. He did
Yeah.
have some kind of funny little lines a little bit at times. Like, there was that moment when they were talking about Hutch, and he said he's a professional creep hound. And she goes, he's not a professional. And he goes, then he's one of the top ranking amateurs. Like, that is funny, but I am not crediting it to him, really. I'm crediting it to the writer of the original book, because apparently that's where the
Ira
dialogue came
Levin.
from. So hour yeah, 11, hour 11. I wrote that 11. Was for you. And I really yeah. hated his dialogue after the rape, because he was like, I don't want to miss baby night. And she was like, while I was out? And he's like, well, it was kind of fun in a necrophile way, which Sydney mentioned earlier. And she's still like, I dreamt that someone was raping me while I was out, something unhuman. And he just goes, thanks a lot. Like, he was just a little bitch-ass bitch.
I would hate him. I would deck him if I had a chance.
I hate him so much.
Such a little bitch ass. Why does he come in with so many cigarettes also? He has...
Who's to say?
Like 12 cartons of them in that one moment.
Terrible.
And she she told him when and where she was meeting Hutch. And so it's his fault that Hutch got cursed. Not aside from stealing the glove, he was like, I know when they're meeting, so I know when and where I need to intercept him, and I know how to send Minnie out after her. Like, betrayal after betrayal.
Seriously. Piece of shit, dumb bitch, for sure.
P-O-S.
He's like, you haven't been drinking your drink? That's so rude. That's so rude to Minnie. She's slaving away. Shut up.
When he said, how will the doctor feel? Die. He should die.
It's going to hurt his feelings if you go to a different doctor. Never mind that I told your first doctor that we moved to California.
Bye. I can't keep talking about him. I'm going to get too upset. It's time for Knives Out of Fives.
So.
I feel like this is well regarded.
Yeah, I mean, one of the most famous horror movies of all time, for sure.
Yeah, right?
But on IMDb Trivia, it has an 8.0 out of 10. On Rotten Tomatoes, it has 96% fresh from critics and 87% fresh from audiences. And then it won an Oscar, actually. Ruth Gordon, who plays Minnie, won the Best Actress in a Supporting Role Oscar. And it was also nominated for, called something different at the time, but basically Best Adapted Screenplay. Polanski was nominated for that. He was also nominated for Outstanding Directorial Achievement in Motion Pictures at the Directors Guild of America Awards. He was nominated for Best Written American Drama at the Writers Guild of America Awards. And then Mia Farrow, she was nominated for Best Actress at the BAFTAs. She won she was nominated for a Golden Globe for Best Actress Drama. Ruth Gordon also won the Golden Globe. And then Roman Polanski was nominated for Best Screenplay there. And the guy you mentioned earlier, Christoph Komeda, he was nominated for Best Score at the Golden Globes.
Good, as he should.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, never mind. I got confused.
It might have been posthumously, because I think you said he died. Actually, now I don't know if I'm thinking of something else.
No, I thought for a second that he like won an award and he got it posthumously, but I might have been someone else that I heard about earlier this week. It was like the first someone I heard about this week got the first posthumous award, but I don't know who it was. So it could have been him, could have been anybody.
Who can say?
No one knows. No one knows. Don't quote me. Anyway, who wants to go first?
I will. I fucking love this movie. Like, the 60s really were a vibe. Like, they were laying down that foundation, right? Like, all throughout the decade. And it's just... this movie is haunting. Like, as a woman, it is just... like, it's wild, and it's hard to describe like how actually scary this is, and the fact that this was in the 60s and you don't feel much has changed.
Yeah,
in a way
it doesn't really feel like this is a situation that couldn't happen today, assuming there were satanic cults out there impregnating girls with the spawn of Satan. But even that aside, even if it wasn't a spawn of Satan thing, you can still imagine that the isolation, the sexual assault, the husband farming her out, like any of that is still...
Like if you wanted to get an abortion, like in some places you can't. Like I live in Alabama. That shit's hard.
Yeah.
I'd have to literally almost be dying to get one.
And even then, they might be like, "We need to consult our lawyers," until it is literally too late.
It's we'll get right so back to you in the year of our Lord 2024 because of the way things
everything is.
We're going in such a great direction.
But even aside from like legal rights, the way that you can still be isolated by an abusive partner to the point where you're absolutely trapped with very little to do and very little to go if you don't really know exactly how to go about it. Like, it's hard to get help a lot of the time if you don't already know things about the system.
Totally.
Anyway, 5 out of 5. I fucking love this movie. It slaps.
Anyway. Awesome.
Yeah, I'll follow you up with that. I think I was going to try to dock points somewhere for something, and I think that's just the Roman Polanski of it all. But, like, the film itself is incredible. Like I said earlier in the episode, this is one of the scariest movies I've ever seen for the reasons that we just outlined. You know, it's as a woman watching this, it's really, 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 really scary. And so... I don't know. Also, just beautifully shot. I love the dream sequences so much. They're so weird. The music is incredible. I'm really glad we covered this. 5 out of 5.
Yeah, I think this is one of those movies where I will never have been able to see it without outside influence. Like, just because it's so old and it's so iconic. It's so embedded in our culture. It's so referenced by so many other things, like we've talked about. Again, you know, not to be a little silly about it, but literally Breaking Dawn Part One is so clearly like pulling from that. And then you also have, like we said, the more serious references, Hereditary, House of the Devil, Late Night with the Devil. Like, even if I didn't know what Rosemary's Baby was about, I think having those references, I would have been able to put it together really quickly. So I'll never know what my true experience seeing Rosemary's Baby for the first time would have been. But it is a really interesting, well-made film. It's clear that there's like a lot of rich visual symbolism in lots of it, like the dream sequences in particular. I'm sure there was so much in there that I didn't even get. But it was so interesting to see the sort of like Sistine Chapel-esque ceilings she's like passing by under, and then you see the goat skull on one of them. And you know, if you are in the horror community, you know immediately what goat skull means. So I don't know. I think there is probably so much more there to appreciate than even I was able to appreciate. It was interesting. It was beautiful. Mia Farrow was so incredible and so like soft and vulnerable, and slayed it. Absolutely slayed it. The costuming was really fun. I don't know. I feel like I'm looking for reasons to not give it 5 knives because it was like kind of a low energy experience, but I think maybe it just deserves them anyway. And I think if I was, you know, like I always talk about this with Carrie. I think if I was at Synespia and Hollywood Forever Cemetery on a blanket with a slight mist rain coming down and I was watching it on a big screen with a crowd of people, I think it would be like 1,000 knives out of 5s probably. So it's one of those things.
It's amazing
where
on a big screen.
Yeah, your experience watching it, I think, is part of what your thoughts are about the movie. And I can see a version of this that would blow my mind. I was impressed today. My mind wasn't blown today, but I think it's still 5 knives worthy, probably.
Hell yeah.
5, 5, 5.
Well, that closes the book on Rosemary's Baby, but Sydney, you're introducing this one, right, too? What are we doing for the final installment for Mommy Issues May?
We are saying, hey, Mama, welcome to the 60s. And we are staying in the 60s and also doing another glorious foundational one, and that is Psycho.
We have to. I mean, Mommy Issues May. You think we could get through Mommy Issues May without including Psycho? Hello.
That's the grandmama of Mommy Issues. Like, that's
right. That's that literally the Mama Issue Cuba right there.
Of the Mommy Issue.
Yeah.
And that's, we are excited because we are being joined by a special, special guest. It's actually two guests. It's the lovely ladies, Emma and Allie of Spooky Chicks and Horror Flicks. And we're very excited to hopefully become their best friends. I love their podcast. We started talking to them because we did Possession and they were like, what the fuck? Help. And then they did Possession. And so, you know, we like looked into, you know, it's like the same hat kind of thing. And we're like, Possession, Possession.
The same
Are you
hat,
okay,
man.
Girl?
Yeah.
Are you okay, girl? And we're not okay at the end of the day, but a connection, a friendship was forged. So I'm excited to have them on. No one's going to say, me too? Okay, all right.
Oh, me too. Me too, girl.
Long silence. Same. I was waiting for you guys to say that.
I think I thought you were going to go into your social shouts and such.
No, I like to give you guys a little time to speak after I speak in a long block, very rushed and filled with passion, just to see if there's any reactions.
I love girlies in horror. I love making girly friends in horror. I'm very excited.
We love the girlies of horror.
It's going to be great. But before we move on to next week, we have to think of our poll question. So maybe we could do a silly one. Do you think the baby looks like a goat?
Like,
or does it have feathers? Or does it have hooves? Or does it have this or that?
Does it look like that cat? Google werewolf cat.
What does the baby look like? Question mark. And then we'll give you a whole bunch of fucked up options. Sounds good? Amazing.
Yes.
Okay, great. Now I have to ask you, we haven't heard from you in so long. We're starting to wonder if you even love us, you know, anymore. And we're feeling insecure. And the only way that you can fix that is by writing us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Or a 5-star rating on Spotify. I'm not picky. Even Audible will work. But we'd love a 5-star review. It helps us get our name out there. When people see, oh, other people like this, maybe I'll like this too. It kind of makes sense. You know, human psychology, yada, yada, yada.
Peer pressure. And
if we haven't gotten one in a while, I think probably people looking for a new podcast who stumble across ours just go, oh, maybe it's not still good. So we need something recent. So that they know that we're still slaying the game.
Listen to the woman.
We absolutely are.
Uh-huh. Now we have cunty hats. Like, come on. This is our peak.
Yeah.
But you can also follow us on social media. We're at @Spooky_Tuesday on pretty much everything except for Facebook and Tumblr, where we are at Spooky Tuesday Pod. And we're on YouTube, where you can see our beautiful faces. I am dressed to the nines. As Rosemary pre her meeting with Vidal Sassoon, so Bob version. I have a pixie cut wig, but no one wants to see that. It's actually a Guy Fieri wig turned backwards. So I didn't do that today, but we look great. Chelsea's got the pigtails and the devil shirt. Sydney's got the Spooky Tuesday hat and her pearls and her piggly wiggly top. Everything is beautiful. And we did a lot of fun gestures, and you can only see that on YouTube. So subscribe. We're also getting really close to 300, so get on there.
You could
fame,
be number 300.
Fame fortune.
That could be you.
We will send you the kiss emoji in response. at the end of the day, I have to say thank you for listening. I'll see you next Tuesday.
Bye, spookies.
What have you done to him, you maniac?
Satan is his father, not Guy. He came up from hell and begat a son of mortal woman.
Hail Satan!
Hail Satan!
Satan is his father, and his name is Adrian. He shall overthrow the mighty and lay waste their temples. He shall redeem the despised and wreak vengeance in the name of the burned and the tortured. Hail Adrian!
Hail Adrian!
Hail Satan! Hail Satan!
Spooky Tuesday was created by Monica Height, Sydney Thompson, and Chelsea Duff, and edited by Sydney Thompson. Our gorgeously spooky tunes are all thanks to Tamara Simons, who you can follow on Instagram at great18_. That's GR818_. And our podcast art is by Ryan Brom, who you can find on Instagram at Ryan Brom Art. That's Ryan, R-Y-A-N, Brom, B-R-O-M-M, Art, A-R-T. Learn more about Spooky Tuesday at spookytuesdaypod.tumblr.com.